Hey, ghoul friend. It's me, Adrian, or Aiden. Either way, I want to ask you to wish Susto a happy birthday. As we celebrate the upcoming 5th anniversary of Susto and its dedication to exploring the rich tapestry of Latin American and Hispanic folklore, I invite you to join me in taking this paranormal project to the next level. Over the past 5 years, I've delved deep into the mysterious realms of ghostly apparitions, supernatural legends, and chilling tales that have captivated audiences worldwide. Now, as I embark on the next chapter of this journey into the unknown, I need your support to enhance your experience as a listener. Your generous donation will allow me to invest in a new recording setup, ensuring that future spine-chilling narratives are captured with crystal ball clarity and devilish detail. With upgraded equipment, I'll be able to host ghoulish guests with greater ease and transport you even deeper into the heart of darkness, where legends come alive and the paranormal awaits. Every dollar contributed will aid in advancing the quality of Susto, enabling me to continue preserving and sharing the enchanting folklore of Latin American and Hispanic cultures with the world. Join me in celebrating 5 years of fear-inducing tales and help me amplify this spooky saga for many more to come. Together, we can unlock the secrets of the supernatural and keep the spirit of storytelling alive. To make a donation, you can visit gofund.me/10bcdc27. Thank you for your support, and may the spirits guide you on your journey through the unknown. Eternally yours, Adrian or Aiden. Either way. Ghoul friends, it's me, Adrian, or Aiden. Either way, I am still your host, and you are still listening to Susto, the podcast of ooky, spooky, scary stories. Ooh. Welcome. Thank you for being here. Thank you for returning. If this is your first time, welcome. Just choose your plot in the cemetery wherever you'd like. Go ahead and cozy up, snuggle on in. I hope y'all are doing well. I feel like I say this so often. I'm always thinking, great, there's a slow season coming up, and then boom, just hit with a wave of things, which I am always, again, forever grateful for. I welcome all of these opportunities, and I'm so excited for them. So first and foremost, to keep up with anything that I am doing with Susto, either in person or online, make sure to follow the socials. That's at Susto Podcast across every social media platform. I do have a couple things coming up. So in May, the things that are being promoted already that I will talk about. Actually, today, the day that this episode comes out, Thursday the 2nd, May 2nd, I am speaking at the Idea Harlingen Academy for their Celebrating RGV Folklore event. There will be a discussion on famous folk tales and legends from the RGV. Speaking will be myself, of course, and Dr. W.F. Strong, who is a celebrated Fulbright scholar, a professor, and a commentator. And there will be a special performance from the after-school drama program. I haven't been told that it's a private event. So, I mean, if you're in Harlingen and you want to check it out, then, you know, hopefully you're listening to this early enough, or you will have, again, followed on social media. This will be posted there, and that's why it's so important for you to follow on social media. I'll be sharing the flyer on there, so hopefully you will know about this event happening this evening already. After that, later on in the month, there are a couple other things, but the one thing that I can promote for sure is the Psychic and Spirit Fest being held by the Curious Twins Paranormal Team at the Victoria's Black Swan Inn in San Antonio. I have posted that one on social media, and I will be sharing as we get closer to the date. Make sure and get your tickets. On the 17th is the VIP investigation. I will be there for that. And on the 18th is the actual like festival where I will be tabling and also speaking at. So very excited for those things. We got our first promo code, y'all. I'm very excited about this. This is a major deal, right? So I always joke about this. I'm always saying use code Susto for 0% off. But I mean, I guess I can still make the joke. It's just maybe a little not as true anymore, because you can visit chordsclub.com and use code Susto for 10% off of your order. If you all have not seen before, I posted across the social media platforms a video that I made about the earrings that I wear. I had been ordering earrings from from this company already. I was already using their jewelry and I really liked them. So eventually we just struck up a conversation online and they gave us a discount code. So go check out their website. Again, I posted it on social media. It's on my link tree as well. It's code SUSTO for 10% off your order. They have really cute stuff. The earrings that I'm wearing right now is a little garnet birthstone. It looks like a drop of blood, and I'm wearing that above a coffin on my cartilage piercings. It's giving kind of like a vampire vibe, right? They have something for everyone. Again, quartzclub.com, code SUSTO. And if you have not seen, I was also featured on the cover of Texas Connect. So that link is also on the link tree. That is major to me. Listen, not to toot my own horn, but after winning an award from Variety and the Gotham Institute, I was featured in Variety magazine. And I did say, I don't know if y'all remember this, I just remembered this, but at one point I did say, you know, one day I'll be on the cover of a magazine. Maybe not Variety, but a cover. And lo and behold, I'm on a cover. So go check out that story. Huge shout out to Brayden, who wrote the piece and interviewed me for it. It turned out really great. It was a lovely read. And then also a big shout out to Will by Whit Photography, who took the cover shot of me. Thank you to everyone who went into making that story happen. And to getting me on the cover, that is still, I'm like still kind of speechless about it, obviously. So there's not much else to update aside from that. As always, if you have your own scary stories that you would like me to share on a Letters from the Beyond episode, you already know how to get that to me. You can visit the website, www.sustopodcast.com. You can send it in an email. You can send it in a DM across all social media. You can leave it in a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. You can write it in on the Q&A portion of Spotify. Or if you're feeling generous, you can just leave a rating or a review wherever you are listening. That's one of the easiest ways to support the show. It's fast and it's free, and I really appreciate it. So we're going to go ahead and get into today's story, which is the story of El Padre Sin Cabeza. The rain-slicked streets of Tonacatepeque, a municipality in San Salvador, glistened under the feeble glow of streetlights. Across the ancient colonial-era church stood a modest house, its facade worn by time and neglect. This was Andrea's new abode, chosen out of necessity rather than desire. As a struggling musician, the allure of cheap rent outweighed any reservations she held about the eerie surroundings. Andrea, bags in hand and with her guitar slung over her shoulder, stepped cautiously through the threshold of her new home. Little did she know that she was about to become entangled in a nightmare that would unravel her sanity. As the nights passed, the darkness outside her window seemed to thicken, and strange sounds echoed through the empty streets. Andrea dismissed them at first, attributing them to the unfamiliarity of her surroundings, but soon, the noises grew louder, more persistent, and impossible to ignore. On moonless nights, the air itself seemed to hum with an otherworldly presence. Andrea would wake to the sound of distant moans, whispers that slithered through the cracks in her walls, and the sensation of icy fingers trailing down her spine. She tried to rationalize the phenomena, blaming her overactive imagination or the stress of her struggling career, but deep down she knew that something sinister lurked in the shadows. It wasn't long before Andrea's friends and bandmates started to notice the toll the haunting was taking on her. Her once vibrant personality faded, replaced by a hollow gaze haunted by unseen terrors. They urged her to leave the house, to seek refuge elsewhere, but Andrea couldn't bring herself to abandon the only shelter she could afford. Desperate for answers, Andrea turned to the locals, hoping to uncover the truth behind the malevolent force that plagued her every waking moment. It was then that she first heard the whispers of the Salvadorian headless priest, a figure shrouded in gory mystery, condemned to wander the earth in eternal torment. Legend had it that the headless priest was once a revered Catholic clergyman, entrusted with the spiritual guidance of his congregation and the conversion of the local indigenous population. But whispers of his behavior with parishioners and his refusal to repent for his sins reached the ears of church authorities. In an act of divine retribution, the priest was stripped of his position and sentenced to death for his transgressions. His body was rumored to be buried in the consecrated grounds of the church, while his decapitated head was cast into the depths of a nearby river, never to be reunited with its rightful owner. Now, in death, the priest's spirit remains tethered to the streets he once lived on, restless, doomed to wander Tonacatepeque in search of his severed head. Those unlucky enough to cross his path would be subjected to his pained wails, leaving them temporarily paralyzed and mute. As Andrea delved deeper into the grim history of her surroundings, she realized the true nature of the haunting that plagued her. The headless priest was not merely a specter of the past, but a malevolent force hell-bent on exacting revenge for the perceived injustices committed against him. Armed with this knowledge, Andrea resolved to put an end to the priest's reign of terror, to free both herself and the tortured soul. But her attempts to appease the vengeful spirit proved futile, as the priest's anger seemed to grow stronger with each passing night. One particular evening, Andrea could no longer pretend to ignore the noise. Her heart pounded in her chest as she stepped out into the moonless night. The air was thick with a palpable sense of dread, and every instinct screamed at her to go back inside, to retreat to the safety of her home. But something compelled her forward, driving her closer to the church. She followed the eerie bangs and groans until she found herself standing before the imposing silhouette of the church. Its ancient walls loomed overhead, casting long, ominous shadows that seemed to dance in the flickering light of the street lamps. Andrea pushed open the heavy wooden doors and stepped inside. The musty scent of incense and decay singed her nose. The interior of the church was illuminated only by the weak glow of candlelight flickering on the altar. As she made her way down the aisle, her footsteps echoing off the cold stone floor, she felt a chill creep up her spine. And then she saw him, a shadowy figure standing at the foot of the altar. For a moment, time seemed to stand still as Andrea's eyes locked onto his body, and although he had no head, she knew he could sense her. She tried to speak, to cry out in terror, but her voice caught in her throat, silenced by the sheer magnitude of the presence before her. Suddenly, the silence cracked. The priest's unearthly screams reverberated through the cavernous church, making Andrea's skull vibrate. She felt rooted to the spot, unable to move or even breathe. It was as if the very air itself had turned to ice, freezing her in place as the priest's ghostly form drew closer. And then, just as suddenly as it had begun, the moment passed, and Andrea found herself alone once more in the darkness of the church. Trembling uncontrollably, she stumbled back down the aisle, out into the street, her mind reeling from the encounter. The legend of the headless priest was no mere tale of superstition, but a chilling reality that threatened to consume her very soul. And as she made her way back to her home, the echoes of the priest's screams still ringing in her ears, Andrea knew that she would never be the same again. Her mind began to fray at the edges, consumed by the relentless onslaught of terror that assailed her senses. She withdrew further, isolating herself from the world outside, until she was nothing more than a shell of the person she used to be. In the end, there was no resolution, no redemption for Andrea or the headless spirit who haunted her every waking moment. And so the streets of Tonacatepeque remained cloaked in darkness, their cobblestone paths haunted by the restless spirit of a priest condemned to wander for all eternity, his decapitated head forever out of reach. Hey Ghoul Friend, it's me, Adrian, or Aiden. Either way, it's that time of year. The True Crime and Paranormal Podcast Festival is right around the corner, so make sure that you get your tickets. You can visit truecrimepodcastfestival.com and use code SUSTO15 for 15% off your tickets. This year, the festival is in Denver, Colorado from July 12th through 14th, so if possible, I would love to see you there. I can't wait. And again, make sure to use code SUSTO15 for 15% off your tickets at truecrimepodcastfestival.com. Welcome back, Ghoul Friends. So we have a couple links here. As always, direct links are on the Susto Google Docs on patreon.com/SustoPodcast. But the first one that we have is a blog. It's blog.walkingwithelsalvador.org. And this is a full rundown on the legend of the priest with no head. This entry is actually from 2021, so recent. There are some fun pictures that go with the social media posts for this. You'll see them. But yeah, this basically just tells the story. It says that a version of the story from Tonaca or Tonacatepeque, which is the municipality that it's from, that says that the local priest who is supposedly guilty of having love affairs with various maidens in the town. It continues, unfortunately, on a day like any other day, a woman who is a friend to the priest died. The people of the town, with evil motives, attributed the death of the woman to the priest. So because there had been a supposed affair going on between the priest and this woman died, people were like, well, it was obviously him, when they found out about the relationship. This continues, taking justice into their own hands, they executed the priest. They cut off his head, making sure that his body would forever walk the town in search of his head and in search of his departed lover. To this day, the headless priest wanders the town as a lost soul in search of his head. Those who are out late at night can hear the priest scream as his head searches every corner of the town for his beloved. The head or the body? I don't know. Maybe both. And this, my friends, is the punishment for a priest who falls in love with the women of the parish. But again, from the versions that I read of this story, this priest was having relations, so to speak, with multiple people in the town. And we don't know what the dynamics of those relationships were, right? But yeah, just to go back to like the origin, I guess. But the first part of this I thought was interesting. It says, tales of mysterious encounters with a headless priest in the dark of night are not uncommonly told among the Salvadoran people. After the time of the Spanish invasion, when conquerors wielding swords or carrying Bibles established their power, there emerged a legend of an imaginary priest who wanders in the streets and pathways as a lost soul. There should be like a punch card or something for each cryptid or spirit that was influenced by colonization. You know, punch a card and your fifth one is a free exorcism or something. I don't know. This continues. There emerged a legend of an imaginary priest who wanders in the streets and pathways as a lost soul. He appears to those who are out walking in the evening. He is searching for his head. He, or perhaps his head, lets out screams into the night. That's also very interesting to me. I'm like, where are the screams coming from? You know, as we know with spirits and fiction, if you will, if you think it's fiction, entities, there's no, like, you know, they can make things happen. They can make you perceive things happening, right? So the screams could be disembodied voices, disembodied screams, right? But it makes you wonder, is like, is the screaming coming from the body or from the head? Where exactly on the neck was he decapitated? And where are the vocal cords? You know, I'm not a voice scientist. I don't know if we have any doctors. Would that be possible? I don't know. I don't want to get too gory, but I am very curious. This continues. He, or perhaps his head, lets out screams into the night. Those who see him feel cold and are sometimes paralyzed with fear and cannot speak for days. Now, I don't know about you, but to me, that sounds like, let's say it together, susto. I too would probably experience some level of susto if I were to see a headless priest who is screeching at me. Right? So yeah, it makes sense that people are paralyzed and unable to speak for days after encountering him. But also, I wonder if it's an intentional power that he has over people. This continues, the story of the priest with no head is well known and frequently told in Tonacatepeque. Some say the ghost of El Padre Sin Cabeza, or the headless priest, is real. Some say the story was invented by the church in order to scare indigenous people into becoming Christians. Some who study traditional Salvadoran tales say this legend was created by enemies of the church. Yeah, that one's a little confusing to me. Is I know that the church had many, many tactics into scaring and forcing and honestly abusing people into following the teachings of the church. So I don't understand how this would be a tactic to scare people into becoming Christian. Honestly, if I saw that, I'd be like, you know what? I don't want any part of that. Do not sign me up for headless priests. I would immediately associate that with the church. I mean, obviously this priest is from the church. I don't want any part of that. Get it away from me, right? It's spooky and creepy. It would make more sense to me that like enemies of the church would dream up, if you will, this story. That would definitely turn me away. I'd be like, oh, the church is vengeful and they will chop off your head if you're not behaving in a way that they want you to. So that makes more sense that the enemies of the church were like, they got headless priests, y'all. Is that what you want? There's a picture here. It's a picture taken in Tonacatepeque, and it says here the Padre Sin Cabeza appears with a few of his legendary friends, and it's these kids in their costumes, and there's the priest right here. And that's so funny to me that someone dressed up as him. This blog entry continues. Linda writes, "It will not surprise you, my dear readers, to learn that my friend Julia has seen the Padre Sin Cabeza." Supposedly, this is a quote from Julia, I'm guessing. Quote, "Supposedly he comes out on the nights without a moon. One time, at the fork in the road near Tonacatepeque, when I was walking later than usual, I thought I saw something sitting in the dirt at the base of the big tree, maybe like a dog. As I looked toward the tree, the figure rose up, and the sight of it sent chills through my body. There was a screech like of an owl. It was the priest with no head." Spooky! Again, yeah, that would leave me paralyzed and speechless. It's like, oh, there's a dog over there. Wrong. Headless body. And then she goes on to wrap it up. This next entry is from Wikifandom, and this is from mitologia.fandom.com. But this one, before it was translated in English, it showed it as sacerdote is the word in Spanish for priest, but also, you know, just depending on where you're at, some people call them padre or father. So el padre sin cabeza, the headless father, el sacerdote sin cabeza would also be correct. But okay, so this one, this wiki entry, it says, "Every Friday at the stroke of midnight, the headless father emerges from the main gate of the Rosario Church. When leaving the atrium, walks along 6th Avenue towards the north." This is very specific. It passes in front of the popular, which is today known as the Libertad Cinema, and turns the corner at the... This is... Wow, this is so specific. Turns the corner of the gym. It says 6th Street and 6th Avenue, and goes down. Shortly after half a block, he disappears and reappears, entering the atrium of the La Merced Church. He can be seen crossing the atrium and entering the church with the door closed. Sometimes he can be seen walking around the entire atrium and climbing the bell tower. Other times they see him passing over the La Vega Bridge, going up the hill, walking in the atrium, and entering the La Vega Church, also with the doors closed. So now this is giving... First of all, this headless priest really is looking for his head. He is on an adventure every night, or... allegedly every Friday night, according to this entry. But this is giving me also now, and we'll talk more about this in a bit, Girl Who Danced with the Devil. It's the Santa Claus effect of the spirits. He's everywhere. People are seeing him all over the place, not only in El Salvador also. We're going to talk about that right now. But again, this entry says that he's the soul of a priest who died in mortal sin without confession and who lost his head due to a love passion. Another version is that this is the soul of a priest who fought alongside, this uses the word peasants, in a revolt, who was murdered. So yeah, there are versions of the story in which he fought, I'm assuming they're meaning alongside the indigenous people. Maybe he wasn't agreeing with the treatment of them, with the methods of the church to convert the indigenous populations to Christianity or to Catholicism. And so then the Catholic Church was like, well, you're actually against us now, so off with your head. Yeah, but different reasons. So not just these love affairs, if you will, but a completely different reason. And again, the origin of the story dates back to the colonial era, when efforts were made to convert the indigenous people to Christianity, a time when Catholic missionaries, priests, and monks were often executed, especially by landowners and chiefs who wanted to maintain power. So now this is another reason. So not the love affairs, not that he was standing in solidarity with the indigenous populations, but the indigenous people who were like, actually, fuck off, and they were like, no, we're going to go after you now. Others claim that it is a radical reversal of the legend of Kulkalkin, or the headless Mayan priest, changing the priest in terms of religion, since it is not only known in El Salvador. Now that brings me to the next topic, which is the headless Mayan divinity or priest. This is from World History Encyclopedia. It's worldhistory.org. It's a statue that was made from cut stone during the classical era in Mayan history, so 250 to 900 CE. It depicts either a Mayan god or goddess, or perhaps even a priest, and it was made in the Yucatan Peninsula of Mexico. And I'll be putting this photo up as well. So this next one is from the Jerusalem Post, or jpost.com. It's titled Headless Maya Statue Discovered in Excavation of Ancient City. This says a life-size statue of a headless human was recently discovered in the ancient Maya city of Oxkintoc, Mexico, during excavations led by the National Institute of Anthropology and History. This is a life-size statue. That must have been fun to discover. It says the limestone statue, which has no head, hands, lower legs, or feet, is 5'5 in height and has been nicknamed Yum Keeb, or the goddess of phallus and fertility. The archaeologists believe that the statue was made in the image of a Maya warrior, most likely a prisoner of war. According to INAH General Director Diego Prieto, the lack of a head surely represents a warrior who was a prisoner in combat. He added that it was likely that the person represented by the statue had ultimately been decapitated after his capture. So this is a little different from the story of this being a priest, right? I don't know the history or how the Maya people viewed warriors. Maybe they viewed them as holy leaders, so to speak, as well. But yeah, I'm not finding too much on this entity or this being known as Kulkalkin, not to be confused with Kulkulkan. Okay, the only thing that I could find was a TikTok, actually. And I'm putting a link to that TikTok in this just a Google Doc, but it is from a creator called named Ramon Valdese, and he's telling the story of El Kulkalkin. And I haven't been able to find this story anywhere else, to be honest. All the stories that come up is they say El Kulkalkin, but then they talk about the headless priest, what we just talked about. But there is a specific version that this person just told about El Kulkalkin that is extremely interesting. I'm gonna dig really hard and try and find as much as I can to do an episode or something about this creature. But for now, I will amplify that creator's video about it, because I mean, it was just well told, but also the story is similar but still different from that of the headless priest that we just covered. So El Kulkalkin definitely is going on my list of things to research, because that was a very interesting story. And sorry to kind of tease you with that, but I don't want to like give you bits and details without being able to give you a full story. So just keep an eye out on social media online. I'm going to repost that person's video, because he did an amazing job on his own. But moving forward, of course, we have a wiki entry. And this is a wiki entry on Headless Priest, or Sacerdote Sin Cabeza. And this one, it covers, you know, the legend, but it also talks about it from places all over the world. And you know, this is one of my favorite parts of Sustol. I'm just going to read off the areas of the world that it lists, some in Latin America and Hispanic countries, but also all over the world. So it starts off with France, Czech, Spain, England, of course, Mexico, Guatemala, Nicaragua, Costa Rica, Panama, Cuba, Colombia, Venezuela, Ecuador, Peru, Chile, Uruguay, and Argentina is what it shows here. And there's an entry for all of them, for each of those. Since we're already talking about Latin American countries or cultures, I want to dip out of that pond and see how they relate to these other cultures. So let's just go with the first one, which is France, for example. It says, in France, the legend of the Abbey of Saint Dionysus is told, a saint of the Catholic Church who was martyred around the year 240 after Christ, along with Saint Eleutherius and Saint Rusticus, for preaching the gospel in Gaul. Saint Dionysus was beheaded on the hill of Montmartre, whose name would derive from Mons Martyrum, Mount of Martyrdom, according to some etymologists, although others defend that it comes from Mons Martis, Mount of Mars because there was a temple there dedicated to the Roman god of war, Mars. Legend has it that once the head had fallen to the ground, the decapitated body stood up, picked up the head, and began to walk for a distance of a league until stopping on the spot currently occupied by the basilica where he finally expired. Another version of creepy is that this priest picked up his head and just walked. I'm going to go to Czech. In the city of Prague in the Czech Republic, a city famous for its ghost stories, there's one about several headless ghosts that appear on the Charles Bridge at night. They are the spirits of 10 knights who were executed during the Middle Ages, whose heads were hung on pikes and placed on the bridge. From Prague also comes the legend of a headless Templar monk beheaded for falling in love with a noblewoman. Again, this idea or this narrative of unsavory relationship or love affair. This monk, this Templar monk, appears on Fridays at midnight on Lilova Street. Again, Friday nights. Is it connected to Good Friday, maybe? Well, he appears Friday nights mounted on a white horse and holds his severed head under his arm. Okay, now this is making a connection to the Headless Horseman. So was the Headless Horseman a priest? The sight of the horse's nostrils shooting lightning and its hooves sparks seems like a familiar story. Another decapitated ghost of a mare holding his head appears on Martinska Street in the old town to scare those who are irresponsible in his work. Meanwhile, a headless monk emerges from the garden of the Strahov Monastery on horseback, holding his own head in his hands, condemned to this torture for delaying assisting a dying man due to his addiction to playing cards. So just headless holy men just haunting all of the Czech. So if you're in Czech, you're gonna see a headless holy person. And then of course there's Spain and in England. But this just now starts to delve into headless, I guess I'll say, characters, right? I'm gonna read some from Latin America too. This one, okay, let's read from Panama. In Panama, in the Villa de los Santos, there is a legend of the appearance of a headless father who is supposed to be the soul of a missionary who arrived with the Spanish conquistadors and who was beheaded on the Cerro de Juan Diaz. You knew when it was going to appear because you always heard first a bell that sounded like something from beyond the grave, with a strange, strange sound, like something from the other world, and it appeared especially, again, here it is, on Good Friday, around a place called La Cantera, and whoever saw it fell prey to great terror and was left mute and paralyzed. There's now that detail as well. This ghost was described as a big, very big man wearing a very long black cassock. And a cassock is kind of like priests will sometimes wear like the long black robe. It's like a black long sleeve kind of robe that goes down to the feet. That's what a cassock is. This one is wearing the cassock, waving a bell in his right hand and a letter in his left hand as if to deliver it. It is believed that perhaps the anima has been trying in vain to communicate with loved ones left in Spain through a letter that no one has dared to take from his hands. That's kind of sad. Or that perhaps he has been trying by that means to make his tragic story. It is said that the person who reads this letter will cause the priest to find eternal peace. Honestly, that's just me trying to deliver susto mail to y'all. This is a good Halloween costume, I'm not gonna lie. Headless priest, bell in one hand, letter in the other. And then you just like have a full story to tell people when they ask, you know, what exactly are you? Wow. That's really fun. For Cuba, this one is really short. It says, in Las Tunas on the island of Cuba, the legend is told of a headless Indian horseman mounted on a white horse who appears on the savannah when great tragedies are going to occur. Legend has it that the Indian was murdered by bandits paid by the father of a Spanish woman with whom he was in love. Again, these dangerous love stories, y'all. Again, there's so many more, but if you want to look it up, the entry is Headless Priest or Sacerdote Sin Cabeza on Wikipedia. And again, the direct link is in the Susto Google Docs on patreon.com/sustopodcast. It would make sense if people saw so many headless spirits, because that's a pretty traumatic way to go. And what are we always saying on the show? Is that, you know, hauntings a lot of the time are tied to trauma. So if you die in a traumatic way and getting decapitated is a very traumatic way to go, then yeah, it would make sense that your spirit is kind of stuck in a loop or stuck in a place because of that thing that happened. It tied you to this area. It would make a lot of sense to me, is what I'm saying, that there are a lot of headless spirits out there, and they all may have various reasons for why they were killed that way. But it seems like with these, especially with the men, it's always because they were wrapped up in some sort of relationship they shouldn't have been. Welcome back, Wolf Friends. God, enough talk about headless holy people, am I right? I'm very interested to see what versions of headless people you may have heard of, because I saw the name like Anne Boleyn popped up, right? So, I mean, listen, the guillotines were very popular back in the day. They were all the rave. So I'm sure there's tons of stories about headless figures, but this one about a headless priest in El Salvador was just really creepy to me. Just walking around at night in like a pueblo or a town or a city, whatever. I lived near churches growing up, so I can't imagine coming across a priest at night by one of those churches. Dead or alive, head or not, I'm like, no thank you, priest. So very interesting. Well, thank you all so much for listening. Again, make sure to follow across all social media platforms for any and all updates on the show. That's at Susto Podcast. Oh, sorry, there's no paranormal report today. All I'm going to say is that this week has been a lot. It has been very intense. So sorry, there was no paranormal report for this episode. But I'm glad to hear that many of you have been enjoying it. So with that being said, if you come across anything online, any sort of like haunting, especially if it's like written somewhere, like in the news, that helps a lot. Send it to me, please. Just message it, email, whatever, send it to me. Speaking of sending me things, if you would like your own story to be featured on a Letters from the Beyond episode or on social media, you already know, send it to me via email, the website, DMs on social media. You can leave it in a rating or review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. It can also be a photo, video, audio recording, anything you think that I should feature online, send it to me. As always, I greatly appreciate if you leave a rating or review, interact with the show wherever you are listening, and share it with your haunted house with your ghoul friends. That's the easiest way to support the show. But if you are interested in supporting the show in other ways, there are two ways right now that you can support financially if you're interested. If you'd like to, I've posted it on social media. It is also on the link tree. You can donate to the GoFundMe if you're feeling generous for a one-time donation, and you can visit gofund.me/10bcdc27. Again, I'm raising money to invest in a completely new audio setup to record the show. It's gofund.me/10bcdc27. Or if you would like to support consistently and become a member of Patreon, you can visit patreon.com/sustopodcast. Check out all the tiers for the perks and the benefits and see if any of those work for you. And for now, I would like to give a huge shout out to this episode's patrons. And you are Liza, Sadie, Rachel, Alejandra, Luther, April, Mario, Eva, Dee, Josette, Sam, Angela and Co., Mandy, Jules, Lori, Jeannie, Desiree C, Anna C, Ashes, Neresa, Rachel, Asukena, Rios, Anna, Marlene, Chata, Lainey, Desiree A, Aaliyah, Holly, Cynthia, and Carla. Thank you all so much for your support from the bottom of my heart, or where it would be. And I will talk to you on the next one. And until then, I'll see you at church. Bye.